like David other than me? I love how tough David was. I love that he was a man's man, and yet he worshipped God at a level that was staggering and beyond belief in relation to how we worship God. I'm up here. Forget the baby. I'm up here. Just come on. God bless the babies. Amen. But I just love that David was probably... Anybody ever seen the movie Braveheart? That was David. That was David. David could slice and dice you three ways to Sunday, and then he'd get down on his knees and worship the mighty God of Israel. That's a man's man, if you ask me. I was raised to honor men that worship God. I want to just read a couple scriptures here in Exodus chapter 20. In the series that we went on the tabernacle, God told Moses, tell Pharaoh, let my people go, that what? Remember, I taught you this. That they may worship me. He said, I'm not just going to set them free, I'm setting them free to worship me. You've been set free from the law of sin and death to worship God. You've been set free to worship God. You know, people that aren't born again don't get that privilege. They don't get to worship God. But God says something in Exodus. He said, I've done all this to bring you out. And he said, I want to take you past the experience of just worship. He said, I want my life to become a lifestyle for you. I want the blessings of God to be a lifestyle. How many believe in the blessings and anointing and the goodness of God in your life? I believe that God... Beloved, I pray above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And that was written by John the Revelator. So we revere revelations, but on that one we have to go and see if that's really in the Bible. Beloved, I say it with me. I pray above all things. Not I wish. I pray above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So how many know God wants to bless you? How many want that blessing? Y'all want that blessing? Okay, well, we're going to talk about that blessing today. I'm not going to read Deuteronomy 28 to you. I could, but I won't. Somebody knows what Deuteronomy 28 says, don't they? Hallelujah. So I'm just going to read the Old Testament. How many believe the Ten Commandments are still effectual today?
Yes.
How many believe that they're still godly?
Yes.
I don't know if it's Voltaire or who said, but he said, wherever there's an altar, there's civilization. And I believe wherever there's Ten Commandments, there's civilization and there's honor among men. And God said, here's what God told Israel. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. How many think that is probably pretty good?
Amen.
Probably effectual. You're not going to have any other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven or above, that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under. God said, yeah, I don't want you worshiping animals, trees, fish, dogs, cats. I don't want you worshiping anything but me. I don't want you worshiping stars, sun, moon. He said, worship the Creator, not the creation. God said, I don't want any graven images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. I bet you this is the only church in America reading the Ten Commandments today. Unfortunately. Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God in the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What's that doing in there? Ooh. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all the work. But God said, I want one day a week. I'm just the messenger. But God said, I want one day a week.
Amen.
He says, I take care of you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And you want all the blessings. And you pray and you ask me to bless you and keep you and protect you and protect your children and everything. And he said, you won't give me one day a week. Okay, I'll move on. I can feel the heaviness there. Honor your father and mother with all that God has given you, that their days may be long upon the earth. Kids, you want to live long on the earth? Honor me. There you go. Hallelujah.
Amen.
13, thou shalt not murder. That murder is the correct word there. Kill is not kill. So thou shalt not murder is the correct word. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Amen. Thou shalt not steal. Amen. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife, the neighbor's house, or anything else he has.
That's right.
Amen.
Then God says in Exodus 25, he says, I've brought you out here and told you all this to say this. God said, I've brought you out of Egypt. I've given you commandments to live by. And how many know that originally that God only needed to give 10 commandments? That if Israel had lived by the 10 commandments, he would not have had to give them the others. How many know if you live by the 10 commandments, you don't have to worry about the others? In fact, in the New Testament, Jesus said, if you live by the two commandments, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and being, and love your neighbor as yourself, He said, you'll fulfill everything.
Yes.
So it starts with loving God. Starts with loving God. But here, God said, I brought you out of Egypt. Exodus chapter 25. And He said, this is why I've brought you out. I've told you how to live because it's going to bless your life. And in Exodus 25, 22, He says this, and I've brought you out for all this. He said, I'm going to meet with you. And I will commune with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the Ark of the Testimony, the Ark of the Covenant, and all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. And God said, I'm going to bless your life. He said, I want to meet with you and commune with you. Everybody say commune.
Commune.
And in the Hebrew, that word commune, it doesn't mean communist. It means commune. God said, I want to commune with you. Say commune. And when we looked that Hebrew word up, we found out that it meant shared benefits. What did David say? Forget not the Lord and all His
benefits.
God has benefits.
Yes.
Yeah, I knew you. Everybody I know when they're looking for employment, looking for a place with benefits. But I was looking for a God. I was looking for a God that had benefits. And I found out my Bible said my God had benefits. My God had benefits. God said commune, shared benefits, shared blessings, and shared responsibilities. Oh, boy. Say with me, shared responsibilities.
Shared responsibilities.
See, we praise God for the blessings. We praise God for the benefits. But responsibilities? Really? How many in a workplace you have responsibilities? They give you a paycheck. You have responsibilities. You should have responsibilities. How many know in marriage you have responsibilities one to another?
Yes.
How many know as children you have responsibilities? And we as children, it's not as parents, it's not unfair to us to demand that you have responsibilities as children. And so God said, I've brought you out of Egypt so that we may commune together, that we meet together. But God said, in this amazing communion that we're going to have, God said there will be shared benefits. Now that's relationship. Shared benefits, shared blessings, shared responsibilities. How many know in marriage, your marriage is only going to work if you have shared blessings, shared benefits, and shared responsibilities?
Amen.
Don't kid yourself.
Amen.
You don't have shared responsibilities, pretty soon you're going to be out. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 12. And as Paul goes through the book of Romans, he begins to tie together this amazing thing that God had done through Christ. And that what God had done for 4,000 years through the law, that Christ had done in 3 years of ministry, Christ had come and wrapped up the law and put an amazing bow on it and said, God has done all this so He can do this. How many know that when God brings you from an old thing to a new thing, it's always better? God doesn't ever take you to lesser. In multiplying, I will multiply thee. In blessing, I will bless thee. God always takes you from one thing to another. In fact, we learned last Sunday that the book of Hebrews is called the book of better things.
Yes.
There's 13 things in Hebrews that God said, that Paul wrote, that says God did a better thing, a better thing. So that means that you can have encouragement and that at the end of your life will be better. Their latter days will be better. There's Tammy. God bless you, Tammy. I missed you. God bless you. Give the Lord praise. You snuck in on me. Yeah. She's been through an ordeal with surgery and everything else. Your jacket's the same color as the seat, so I didn't recognize you there. Praise God. Welcome back, Tammy. God bless you. Anybody else here that I missed today? Jack. Jack's back from surgery. Amen. Jack, good to have you back. Well, we just praise God for being faithful.
Yes,
amen. So in Romans, Paul says, God has done this amazing thing. He's taking you, who were Gentiles. You had no rights to the promises of God. Think about that. You were outcasts of Israel. You were foreigners. There was no salvation for you. And God, Paul says that through this amazing thing where Israel, they backslid, God said, I'm going to graft in the Gentile nation. I'm going to graft in the Gentile people. You have been grafted in and made heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ because of the mercies of God.
Yes.
Every say, I live by the mercies of God.
By the mercies of God.
I live by the mercies of God. I'm going to tell you right now, that breath you just took is by the mercies of God.
Yes.
Don't kid yourself. That breath you just took, that heartbeat you just had is by the mercies of God.
Yes.
There are people in hospital beds begging God for the blessings you have right now.
Yes.
Begging God for the blessings that you have, the health you have, the strength you have, the mind that you have. Begging God for the amazing mercy you're walking in and I'm walking in today. So Paul says, in light of everything that God has done, he says something amazing in Romans chapter 12. He says, I beseech you therefore, brother. And that word beseech means I beg you. And he says, I beg you by the mercies of God. He said, I'm going to tell you something. I need you to think of everything that God has done for you. And he says, I'm begging you, if you'll think of all the mercies of God that God has put in your life and blessed you with. He said, because of this, what is he said? I'm not just begging you because, you know, because God saved you. He said, I'm begging you by the mercies, plural. Does it say mercies? Your Bible says that the mercies of God are new every day. You are living in the mercies of God. You know, the Bible says that except for the mercies of God, oh, the sons of Jacob, we would be consumed. Yes. I guarantee you there are people sitting in this room right now that if it wasn't for the mercies of God, you wouldn't be here. Amen. You'd be in prison. You'd be strung out on drugs. You'd be in a place or a situation that it's just the mercy of God. You're here today.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you.
And so Paul says, I want you to think about how merciful God has been to you. He said, I beg you this. To think about how merciful God has been to you. Anybody in this room, can you think of how merciful and some of the mercies God has been and given to you? My goodness.
Yes.
And that you realize you're here by... Randy's not even in here. He's raising his hand. Praise God. Amen. God's done an amazing work in your life. Yes, He has. From glory to glory. I beg you by the mercies of God, I beg you to think about that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. He said, because of everything that God has done for you and where He's taken you from and where you are now. He says, I want you to consider and make it a part of your life to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Everybody say living sacrifice.
Living sacrifice.
My goodness. So everything that you're doing right now, functioning. You know, one of the things that will really, really change your thinking in life is when your parents get older and you go visit them in older rest homes or whatever, and you begin to see and understand and thank God for the health you have today. And you see what age and time does to the human body. And I got news for you. You need to praise God for the health and strength that you have. You need to be completely understanding that it's a gift of God. It's by the mercies of God. In fact, David said, the mercies of God, they are new every day. God has so many mercies, He doesn't use yesterday's mercy on today. He has that much mercy.
That's right.
And Paul says, I want you to think about this. How much mercy God has put in your life. Everything you see in this room is by the mercy of God. Think about this. Look around this room. Everything you see is by the mercy of God. The people you see in here are by the mercy of God. How many know you have a marriage by the mercy of God? How many know everybody in here this marriage, Satan tried to destroy your marriage? Everybody, I guarantee you, everybody in this room, if you had a marriage, Satan tried to destroy your marriage. If you had children, grandchildren, Satan has tried to come against them. Everything that's blessed in your life is by the mercy of God. How many know that your names are in the Lamb's Book of Life because of mercy?
Yes.
For by grace are ye saved through faith. It is from the grace and the mercy of God you're even saved. How many know your names are in the Lamb's Book of Life? How many know that? That you know that you know that you know?
Yes.
I know my name is in there. I know my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. By the mercies of God, there ought to be a witness in this house, and that's why praise and worship ought to come easily, because the merciful God of Israel has blessed my life.
Amen.
Praise and worship ought to be a time of celebration, of reminding God how merciful He's been to you. So, everybody in here understands you've had grace and mercy poured into your life. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, and therefore always begs, why? Why? It's not just about the do's and don'ts. God said in Exodus, we just read, I want to meet with you, I want to commune with you. Shared blessings, shared benefits, shared responsibilities. I don't know about you, but I want the blessing of God far past the end of my life. I want the blessings of God on my children's children's children. Do you know your God is generational? I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Can you believe that God said, I will actually let my name be surnamed by the names of men that have honored me with faith? God said, I'm not afraid to be called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm not afraid to be called that. When Moses asked God, well, tell who do I say sent me? He said, tell them the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob sent you. Do you know that God's not afraid to be surnamed by your name, the God of Stephen? Because I have been believed him by faith. The Bible says that Abraham, when he believed by faith, he was justified by faith.
Yes.
God's not afraid to be called by the name of Stephen because he knows I have believed in him by faith.
Amen.
He knows I have believed in him by faith. I am the God of Stephen. And what I found out is when my dad got saved and got away from that crazy lifestyle that his family was living, and it all kinds of stuff ran in my dad's father, especially anger and hatred. Man, it was just fighting. Oh, man, it was terrible. But when it ran into the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it stopped. The blood of Jesus was more powerful than the anger of my grandfathers and forefathers. And God broke that anger and that hatred. And my father had 5 sons that weren't angry and bitter and hateful and mean. And now I have a son and a daughter that are not angry, bitter, and hateful and mean. They're loving and caring. Why? Because God is the God and He is faithful, and by mercy He will be faithful to my daddy. He'll be faithful to me. He'll be faithful to you. He'll be faithful to Ava. God is faithful. And by the mercies of God, He will be faithful to all generations is what my Bible tells me. That serve Him, love Him, and honor Him. God said, I want to meet with you. And I want to commune with you. But why do we ignore the responsibilities of God? Why do we ignore them? Therefore, ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. The Bible tells us, be ye holy as I am holy. Acceptable unto God, reasonable. Do you know that you can give God things that He does not respect? Well, Jeremiah told me Genesis chapter 4. Well, I'll just give God what I feel like giving God. I got news for you. I've had gifts that honestly showed me no respect. Anybody ever get a birthday gift that you realized there was no thought in this? All they did was give you a job and you had to take it back to Walmart. In the process of time, it came to pass, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought the first things of his flock. And the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, God had no respect. Wow. Well, hey, Pastor, that's Old Testament. That doesn't have anything to do with today. I just read you 10 commandments and y'all said, you raised your hands and said, yeah, they're good for today. How many believe that the 10 commandments are still good for today? I really believe they are. I believe they're still good. I believe it's an effectual way of living by the 10 commandments. So you can bring things to God that He doesn't respect. I don't know about you, but I want to please God. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Not just, well, you're done. I want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So Paul says, I beg you, brethren. I beg you, brethren. And I love this. He calls us brethren. He said, family. You're in the family. Positionally, I beg ye, brethren. It doesn't say you sinners. You poor old sinners that were finally saved. It says, I beg ye, brethren, in the faith.
Yeah.
You need to give God praise. Paul says, I beg you, brethren. God sees you as brethren. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is our elder brother. It says that. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. The reality, Paul says, you are family. We are heirs and joint heirs with who? Jesus Christ. If I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ, I'm related to Him somehow.
Yes.
If I'm an heir and you're an heir, we're related somehow.
Amen.
If I'm an heir and you're an heir, we're related somehow.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
So Paul says, brethren, family. He said, you're in the family. I pray. So say with me, I praise God, I'm in the family. I beg you, brethren, he's saying positionally you're brothers in Christ. And because of Jesus Christ, he has made us brother. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. That is amazing. A living sacrifice. Hebrews 2:11 tells us that God has called us and Christ has called us his brethren. So I am a brother in the faith. By the mercy of God. I beg you by the mercies of God, brethren. Isn't that what that says? Brethren, by the mercies of God, I beg you. I am a brother by mercy. I'm in a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And what's amazing to me, it says, I'm an heir and a joint heir. I'm an heir and a joint heir. I don't have time to preach on that today, but that's a whole sermon in itself. In Romans 8:17, Paul tells us we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Joint heirs. Oh, if I'm an heir and joint heir, I get to share in the inheritance.
Yeah.
I'm not stupid. If I'm an heir, I get to share in the inheritance of God.
Amen.
Right? That's the way it works in this world. If you're an heir and joint heir, when my father passed away, me and my brothers all got together. We put out all the stuff we wanted because we were heirs. We decided who got what, and I got all the hunting stuff. Praise God. All my brothers, they just blessed me with all the hunting stuff. Man, it was wonderful. And I was praising God. But because you're an heir and joint heir with Jesus Christ, you're entitled to all that Christ was blessed with. If Christ was blessed with power, you should have power. If Christ was blessed with wisdom, you should have wisdom.
Amen.
You should have part of that power, part of that wisdom.
Amen.
Look, brothers and sisters, this is the Word. It says you are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So if Jesus Christ got something, so did I.
Yeah.
If He got healing, I got healing.
Yeah.
Man, there should be a big amen there.
Yeah.
If He got a sound mind, I got a sound mind.
Amen.
If He got joy, I got joy. If He got peace, I got peace. If He rose from the dead and we had victory over hell, death, and the grave, I have victory over hell, death, and the grave.
Amen.
I'm a joint heir.
Amen.
Is this right? Is this a joint heir? Isn't that what this really means? So I have every right and privilege to what Jesus has been blessed with. Amen?
Amen?
You've just been preached to. We can go home. You have just been preached to. No, Jack, we're not leaving. No. Me and Jack have a thing. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, has it ever hit you that what is Christ is yours? Has it ever hit you in the spirit that what is Christ is yours? We're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So whatever Christ got blessed with, I got blessed with too. I praise God I have the mind of Christ. I got that too. How about being blessed financially? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Is that okay? Beloved, I pray above all things you'd prosper. I don't know if Mark Twain wrote that or who. That's in your Bible.
Yes.
And be in health. God wants you in health. As your soul, He wants you to have a healthy soul. He wants your mind and your heart whole.
Amen.
He wants you to have peace. The Bible says Jesus is the Prince of Peace. If He has peace, I should have peace. If He was delivered from death, hell, and the grave, I should be. If He has power and authority in the earth, so should I. If He is seated in heavenly places, I am seated in heavenly places. If He has been delivered, I have been delivered. So what is Christ is mine because we're heirs and joint heirs together. Woo! Hallelujah! What is Christ is mine. I want His peace. I want His joy. I want His goodness. I want His mind. I don't know about you, but I'm claiming my portion. I'm claiming my portion of what's rightfully mine. Why would you not claim what Jesus died and paid for? Why would you not want or desire what Jesus Christ died and bought and paid for with His precious holy blood? Why would you not want what God has done? Why would you not want that deliverance, that inheritance? Everybody say, I have inheritance
in Jesus Christ,
through Jesus Christ,
and what is His
is also mine. Amen. That's Bible. That's Bible. That's Bible. So, why do we get upset with Christians that are walking in the fullness of their inheritance? I'm just asking you, why do we get upset with godly men that have walked in their inheritance? Godly men, godly women that have walked in their inheritance. Why do we get jealous or envious over those men and women that God has blessed? I'm going to get back to that. Why does the church hate on men that are walking in the fullness of their inheritance? Romans 12:2. Present your bodies. Present your bodies. Present your bodies. You know, Jesus said in Luke that he that is faithful with a little will be faithful with
a lot.
Say it with me. He that is faithful with what? A little will be faithful with
a lot.
Jesus said that. This past summer, we were up in an Indian reservation. We had a revival up there. And one of the men that I love to hear him speak, his name is Jerry Savelle. And he gives the greatest testimonies of God doing amazing things in his life that you've ever heard. God has done things in his life that are just amazing. And years ago, he gave this testimony. God told him to buy this barren piece of land out in the middle of nowhere. I'm serious. This was his testimony. You two were there. God told him to, but say with me, God told him. How many know that God is speaking to us continually about something that God says, will you put it in my hand?
That's right.
God will continue. You know, everybody wants a blessing of the Lord, but I always say, you've got to give God something to work with. I will bless the work of your hands, not the prints of your butt. God will bless what you put your hands to.
Amen. Amen.
Did I just say butt? I didn't know. I shouldn't say that in church. I'm sorry. Your derriere. Excuse me. I'm a brother by mercy. I'm a brother by mercy. But what was fascinating about this testimony was nothing happened. 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 Everybody told him, well, you didn't obey God. You didn't hear from God. That wasn't God. One day he got a call from a company that drills wells for natural gas. 30 years later. And they said, we are doing some exploration in that area, and we think there might be natural gas on that property. Could we go drill some test wells? I don't know about you, but yeah. Come, let's do it. Let's go, Junior. Let's go dig some. And they went out and they dug some test wells. And guess what? Guess what? Guess what? Why do we hate on men that have been faithful to God? Obeyed God. Did what God told them to do. And then maybe the first year, second year, third year, fourth year, didn't look like God was doing anything. But then one day God shows up. And now, God has blessed his ministry with land that produces natural gas at a level that's mind-boggling. In fact, there's so much natural gas there. Can you believe that God would do this? Buy that piece of land over there. What, is this the testimony? Am I lying, girls? You two were there. I'm not making this up. You have no idea what God will do for you if you give Him the chance.
Right.
If you'll be obedient to a word that at the time seems crazy. But I have found out every sane word generally isn't God. Because my God does the impossible.
Yeah.
My God does the impossible.
Amen.
And He does above and beyond what you could think, ask, or hope. So a lot of times when you hear God, it don't sound like God.
Right.
Because this sounds crazy. But with God, all things are possible. I'll give you something crazy. Hail Mary, Mary, thou art highly favored among men, women, and thou shalt conceive in the high womb by the Spirit of the living God,
yeah,
a Savior, and His name shall be called Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Some of the things of God are crazy in relation to the natural mind. So they found so much natural gas on his property that they said, there's a big subdivision that went in over here, and we need to get to this part of the property. But there is a law that says we can't drill so many wells, so it has to be so many feet. But we went to the people that own this subdivision, and we told them, if you let us put a well over here on the edge of your subdivision, and we're going to drill down and go over here and tap into this gas main, this gas field, we'll give you part of the profits. We'll give Jerry Savelle Ministry part of the profits. Guess what those people said? Oh, you better believe they said yes. They're in Texas. You don't mess with Texas. You want to drill here and I don't got to do nothing and you're going to bless me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they had a meeting of the neighborhood. Guess what the neighborhood said? Yes! My God. Tell them no.
Yeah.
Life is short. Drill the well. My God. So now, God is blessing Jerry Savelle Ministries. And now people are upset because his ministry has so much money.
Oh, me.
No, I'm not kidding you. My God, can you believe that pastor, that minister over there?
Hallelujah.
All he did was be obedient to God's word. Why does the world hate on men of God that are obedient to God and are blessed by God? I'm going to tell you who it is. It's Satan. It's Satan. How many know that? I want you to think of your favorite pastor, teacher, whoever it is. I want you to think of it. And I'll bet you one thing, if they're on television or have written books, they're probably blessed. I guarantee you, they probably are. But how many know you have no idea the pain and the suffering and the anguish and the things that they have been through and what they were faithful in little things? God said, if I can trust you with a little thing, I can trust you with a big thing.
Right. Amen.
Last I heard, he was still preaching even with all that money coming in. That's what that last I heard. And God said, I want to commune with you. Shared benefits, shared blessings, shared responsibility. God said, if I tell you to do something, do it. Quit asking God to multiply zero. Even God can't multiply zero. How many know mathematically? God can't. You can't mathematically. You can't multiply zero. I can't. And even God can't. God said, I'll bless the work. God said, give me something to work with. Give me something to work with. So I'm going to talk about giving God something to work with. I'm going to talk about giving God something to work with. Everything that's Christ is mine. I'm a joint heir and heir with Jesus Christ. If I'm faithful in the little things, God said, you'll be faithful in the big things. Revelation 5 tells us that we are kings and priests unto God. So as we look at this now, it says, I beseech you there, brethren. Everybody say, brethren.
Brother.
By the presenting of your bodies. Ooh, hold it. Everybody say, presenting.
Presenting.
So I've gone from brethren, brotherhood, to presenting, which is priesthood. Right? I beg you, brethren, right? That means I'm in the brotherhood. Present. Do you know, and you should have known from the series we just went through on the tabernacle, the only ones that could present to God were who?
The priests.
That's the only people that could present to God. That's why God has made you kings and priests. So that you can present praise and worship and thanksgiving, which is acceptable.
Hallelujah.
God has made you kings and priests. So
yeah.
You could, God said, you got to be a priest offer to me. I beg you, present your bodies, brethren, brotherhood, your bodies, priesthood. Say with me, a living sacrifice.
A living sacrifice.
A living sacrifice. Ooh, this is getting deep. A living sacrifice. How can you be the priest and the sacrifice? That's a contradiction of terms. The Bible says, because we are priests unto God. How many know that because we are priests unto God that you can intercede for other people?
Right.
How many know when we come and pray in an intercessory prayer, we're praying for you. Y'all may not be here, but we're still praying for you.
Right.
We come and pray for you. And there is none this week. But we pray for you. We do. Because we're kings and priests unto God, we can pray and intercede for you. Because I'm a king and priest unto God, I can pray and intercede for my son and my daughter, my granddaughter, my son and daughter-in-law, son-in-law. I can intercede for you as a priest. That's the power of the priesthood. I always say your children are defenseless against your prayers because you're their priest. They're defenseless against your prayers. You get on your knees and talk to God about them. My goodness, you better get ready.
Amen.
They might just come running. See, Aaron was a priest of the Aaronic priesthood, but he was not the offering. When God told Abraham, I want you to get your son, your only son Isaac, and I want you to go to Mount Moriah, Abraham didn't offer himself, he offered Isaac. But here Paul says, I want you, brethren, brotherhood, offer yourselves priesthood, a living sacrifice. That means something's got to die. Everybody say with me, sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
When we talk about veterans that gave the ultimate sacrifice, right? The ultimate sacrifice. They gave their life. That's what that means. Right? Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, and offer him. So Abraham was the offerer, but Isaac was the offering. Paul said, brotherhood, by the mercies of God, present priesthood, your body, say, my body. A living sacrifice.
A living sacrifice.
See, the only other person that the Bible ever talks about as the presenter and the presentee is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I give my life. I give my life. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is prophet, priest, and king. And so Jesus Christ, He was the presenter and the presentee. What did He say? No man takes my life. I lay my life down. And He said, if I lay it down, I can take it back up.
That's right.
That's what you've got to get in your spirit. If you lay your life down for Christ, you can take it back up in Christ. Woo! My God, my God, my God.
Hallelujah.
You understand what I just told you?
Uh-huh.
Jesus said, if I lay my life down, I can take it back up.
Christ.
In Christ, if we lay our life down, we can take back up His life. Hallelujah. So Hebrews 7:20 says, for he offered up himself and he was the priest of. He offered up himself. Jesus Christ was the offerer and the lamb. He was the offerer and the offering. And God said, I like that. He was God enough to be the offerer and man enough to be the offering. Because the Bible said we're only going to get redeemed by a kinsman redeemer. That's the only way. Man sinned, man fell. God said, man's going to have to redeem this thing. Say it with me. He was the offerer.
He was the offerer.
And the offering.
And the offering.
The only one. And then in the New Testament, Paul says, I want you to be the offerer and the offering. I want you to be the offerer and the offering. In the Old Testament, you couldn't do that. But under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be the offerer and the offering.
Yes.
You can be.
Hallelujah.
I'll tell you, this message excites me. Because if I'm the offerer and the offering, that means everything that comes with air and joint air with Jesus Christ is mine. If my high priest did this, if he offered himself and God honored that offering and was well pleased with that offering, then everything that is Jesus Christ is mine because I am a priest and I did the same thing He did. I was the offerer and the offering.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Jesus said, no man takes my life. I'm the offerer and I am the offering. I'm the offerer and I am the Lamb. See, Jesus was the priest and the Lamb. Offerer and the offering. He don't need anybody's help. In fact, Psalms tells us what? Salvation is of the Lord. God said, I looked for a man, could find no man. So God said, I'll do it myself. He said, I looked for a man to stand in the gap. He said, I couldn't find anyone. God said, I'll do it.
Yes.
I'll be the offerer and the offering.
Thank you.
I'm God enough to offer it, man enough to be the offering. So in light of all this, Paul says, you won't do that for him? I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. I beg you, brethren, brotherhood, that you present priesthood, your bodies, a living sacrifice. That means something has to die. That means something has to die. And it's called your flesh and your will has to die. God wants to kill the bad you so He can resurrect the good you.
Amen.
God wants to get rid of the old Stephen so He can resurrect His version of Stephen. He says, Stephen, I want you to be the offerer and the offering. I want you to get rid of all your will. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done, not mine. That's a prayer. Jesus said that's the perfect prayer. Your will be done, not mine. David said as a priest, we can never come to God empty-handed. So, when we come to church, what do? We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifice of what?
Praise.
And the sacrifice of thanksgiving. So when you see Pastor Steve, crazy Pastor Steve up here, I'm offering up myself. It's not emotionalism. It's not, that's just what charismatics do. That's what Pentecostals do. Paul said, I would that men everywhere pray lifting holy hands unto God. I lift holy hands because Paul did. I lift holy hands because the disciples did. I lift holy hands because Peter, Paul, James all did when they got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I don't feel like lifting my hands. But it's not how I feel.
Right.
I offer up the sacrifice of praise.
Yeah.
Ah, crazy Steve, he's got his hands up over there again. No, I'm offering up the sacrifice of praise. I am the offerer and the offering.
Yes.
My lazy flesh wants to sit home and watch football.
Well, that's bad.
But God by the Spirit says, get out of bed and go to church.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord.
I will commune with you, shared benefits, blessings, and responsibilities. Say with me, shared benefits, blessings,
and responsibilities.
So now I'm going to read some responsibilities. Now I'm going to get in your personal business. I want you to think about your whoever your most, the pastor that you like to listen to on radio, watch on TV, whatever. And I'm going to tell you, he's given sacrifices you have no idea what he's given or she has given. You have no idea the times they've spent on their knees praying, the times that they've gone without, the times they've been through hard deals, and they kept pressing in and persevering, enduring under God. And they kept being honoring God with little until one day God blessed them with much. Buy this land over here. It ain't worth nothing.
Yeah.
That's why they'll sell it to you.
Right.
And 30 years later, God said, it's full of natural gas. Mm-hmm. Nobody saw the 30 years of praying and believing and standing that he did. If I told you what your favorite ministers were worth, you would not believe it. And I don't begrudge them one dime, because I know the time they spent in prayer, on their knees, in the Word of God, praying and believing and standing God in hard times. Brutal times. And they were steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I've seen it. I've seen it. And we get mad because God has blessed what they put their hand to. God has blessed them because He saw them faithful with little. He said, I can give you much because I can trust you. Because I've seen what you did with the little and I know what you'll do with the much. So now God has blessed that ministry wildly. And there's about something else to happen there, and He wouldn't share that with us, but I guess it's beyond what you could even think. What about pastors that write books and make enormous amounts of money? And we get angry and jealous and frustrated with them. Because God has blessed what they put their hand to? Seriously? Anybody remember a guy named Rick Warren wrote that book, Purpose Driven Life?
Yeah.
And people are upset. But I'm going to tell you, what I'm about to read you, every one of these men has done for years and years and years and years and years, and God has blessed their integrity. God blessed Abraham's integrity. He blessed Isaac's integrity. Say with me, God blesses integrity.
God blesses integrity.
And principle.
And principle.
And I'm going to add to it. Sometimes it takes a few years. In Hebrews 10, because I want you to think about your favorite man, whoever it is, and I'm going to tell you everything I'm about to read you, he has done. She has done. Because it is part of what the Bible tells us is part of our responsibilities. Shared blessings, shared benefits, shared responsibilities. Say with me, shared blessings, shared benefits, shared responsibilities. I got news there. The church in America is full of people that want all the blessings, but no responsibilities. All the benefits, but with no responsibilities. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm just going to read God's Word on a few responsibilities today. Is that okay?
Yes.
Don't hurl darts at me when I read God's Word here. Verse 19, therefore, having brethren boldest, enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Oh, I love that. By a new and living way which He hath consecrated us through the veil, that is, through the veil of the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why His flesh was torn, so that we could come through the veil into the promises of God. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a pure heart, full and full assurance of having faith in our hearts, sprinkled from all our evil conscience, all our evil deeds, all our evil ways we think, and our bodies washed with pure water by the washing of the water with the Word. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Semicolon. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some. And it just got quiet as a church mouse. Who Whoever your man or woman of God is, I guarantee you they never quit assembly. They never forsook the assembly. I guarantee you they were in church every Sunday. You'll read their life and you'll find out. Check their life and you'll find out. How many know it's God's will to be in church on Sunday?
Yes.
Didn't I read back in Exodus? Thou shalt remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy.
Yes.
I'm not getting this under the law. I'm not saying we've got to go back to Saturday church. But I got news for you. There's a blessing in coming to church.
Amen.
And I'm going to read it to you in a minute. I'm going to read it to you. There's a blessing in being in church. There's a blessing in being in church.
Amen.
I'll say it till you get it. There's a blessing in being in church. Not because I said so, because God's Word says so.
Right.
I beg you, brothers. And you know what? God knows we don't always want to go to church. I know that. He knows that. And that's why He says sometimes it's a sacrifice. But He said, do it.
Yes.
If you'll be faithful in a little, God says, I'll trust you with much. You know, one of the things in my life, I've been in church all my life. And one thing I have learned is there is a blessing coming to church. There's a blessing in it. No, so everybody say amen. There's a blessing in it. Why would Paul, he's at the end of Hebrews, the end of his life, the end of his writings, and he said, forsake not the assembly, as some do. And then I love the adder that he puts onto this. But exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. God says, if I can trust you going to church when you don't feel like it, Stephen, I can probably trust you with bigger things. Do you know one of the reasons that God showed me my business? He showed me this. Don't ever open on Sunday. Don't ever open on Sunday. I deal in U-Haul. You know what U-Haul does? They give you a higher commission. Quite a bit higher if you're open on Sundays. What are they trying to do? They're trying to bait you. I said, no, I won't open on Sunday. Well, that's because you're a pastor. No, because I'm a child of God. And God says, won't you just give me one day, Stephen? That it's not about money. It's not about anything but me. My office manager said, we should be open Sunday. We can make more money. I said, the day I become only about money is the day that God will lift the blessing off this. In fact, I've had LDS people come to me and tell me, Steve, the reason we do business with you is because you're closed on Sunday and we're going to honor that. You are a righteous Gentile. We're going to honor that. That's no joke. There's a bunch of money in righteous Gentile. That's a fact. I'm not mad. I'm preaching truth. I've had LDS people come to me and tell me, we love the fact that you're closed on Sunday. One of the biggest businessmen in this valley hates the fact that I'm closed on Sunday. Hates the fact that I'm closed on Sunday. But I guess what? My God is bigger than him. My God is bigger than him. My God is bigger than him. How do I know that? Because he told my neighbor, and my neighbor squealed on him. See, I was raised to understand the power of the assembly. Not just because I'm a pastor. Forsake. Why would Paul say this? He said, sometimes you've just got to sacrifice your flesh and get up out of bed and go. I'm going to read Scripture to you now. I'm going to read a little bit more. At the end of Hebrews, in chapter 13, Paul says, I'm going to boil it down to this. All of the book of Hebrews, he said, I'm going to boil down to this. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 10. For we have an altar. He's writing to saints. Say, we have an altar.
We have an altar.
Whereof they which have no right, which eat or serve the tabernacle. He said, the people that just go to church for religion, they have no right to this blessing. But he said, the people that go to church because they love God and they love the fellowship of koinonia with the brethren. I'm going to read here what God says about it. It's powerful. It's holy. It's anointed. For the body of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest's sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered out without the gate. Let us therefore go so outside the gate, without the camp, bearing his reproach. Here's what the Bible's telling us. Jesus said, I went outside religion. Because religion of man will put you in a bondage that you have to go to church. A relationship with Jesus Christ will put you in a position, I get to go to church.
Yeah.
I want to go to church.
Amen.
There's blessing in going to church. I don't have to go, I get to go. I don't have to go, I get to go. And if I get to go and I do it because I love the Lord, God said, I'm going to bless you for it.
Amen. That's right.
Now, I'm preaching better than you're clapping, but that's okay. Sometimes I'm my best audience. Verse 14, for we have no conceit. God said, this isn't even your home. Can I give you a heads up? In heaven, you're going to be in church every day.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Oops. Oops. You don't like church down here? I don't know what you're going to do in heaven. It's going to be church every day.
Yeah.
I read the book. It's in the book. Verse 15, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice. Oh, there it is. By Him, let us offer what? I am the brethren in brotherhood. I am offering. That's priesthood. So when I come and I praise God and I worship God, I'm a brother that is walking in my priesthood anointing, offering to God this flesh.
Yes.
I'm the offerer and the offering. When you're praised and worship God, you're the offerer and the offering.
Yes.
My God. When you praise and worship God, you're the offerer and the offering.
Yes. Hallelujah.
When you worship God, you're the offerer and the offering, just like Jesus Christ. The first man to be the offerer and the offering.
Yes.
When Paul said this, he's like, I'm going to take you to a whole other level. And I'm not done yet. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God on Sunday or continually?
Continually.
What is that sacrifice? The fruit of your lips, giving thanks to His name. Paul said, verse 16, I ain't done. He says, now, but to do good. But to do good. But to do good. But to do good. To do good. To do good. To do good.
Yeah.
We're known in Showell as a church that does good in our community.
Yeah.
We're known as the church in Showell that does good in our community. We're known at the FAC. We're known in the Showell Community Fast. We go and do good.
Yeah.
Not because we have to. Because we get to. Because we want to. Okay. I got one more scripture. And then we'll close it down for today. But to do good. And communicate. Communicate. That's a big word. Forget not. But do good and communicate. And to communicate. That's from the Greek word. It means koinonia. It means fellowship with the believers. And that verse is tied to over to 2 Corinthians 13, 14, 2 Corinthians 1, 7, where Paul talks about the meeting of the church. And God says this, do good, but remember the fellowship of the brethren. Koinonia. Church. These are God's words. These are not my words. Well, you're just a pastor. You're just trying to get people in church. I'm trying to get you blessed. I'm trying to get you blessed. I'm just trying to get you blessed. And you may not understand this, but I'm trying to get you blessed and your children blessed and your great-grandchildren blessed and your great-great-grandchildren blessed because this is God's word.
Yes.
Amen.
If I honor God, God will honor my seed, my seed, my seed, seed, my seed, seed, seed. The Bible says a righteous man leaves an inheritance to his children's children's children.
Yeah.
That's what my Bible says. Whew. I might get myself saved today. Hallelujah. This is the Word of God. And Paul said, I'm going to wrap up Corinthians. I'm going to wrap up Hebrews with this. Probably one of the greatest books in the Bible. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. It's a requirement, people. Continually. The fruit of your lips. The fruit of your lips. Think on these things, whatsoever is true, pure, holy, of good report. Because what's in your heart and what you think about is what you'll speak. Also, he says, but to do good and go to church. I'm reading it the correct interpretation. Forget not. For with such, what?
Sacrifice.
Oh! Sacrifice. Going to church can be a sacrifice at times.
Thank you, Lord.
My Bible says God is pleased or well pleased with this.
Well pleased.
What does your Bible say?
Well pleased.
I don't want to just please God. I want to be well pleasing unto God. And in America, the church has become somewhat what I call rescue. I'll call the church when I'm in trouble. I'll call the pastor when I need prayer. And we wonder why this nation is struggling with the struggles we have. Because we have made God a paramedic. And not the great physician. I'll call you God when I need help. I'll come to church when I'm in, got a problem. No, there's a well-pleasing unto God here. My Bible says that. With such what? Sacrifices. God is well-pleased. I'm the brother in the brotherhood, but when I offer, I become priesthood. And you never go to God empty-handed. David said, I will never appear before God. In fact, it was a requirement in Israel. You could never appear before God empty-handed. That's why when I come to church, I don't come empty-handed. I come with praise and worship on my lips and my hands.
Yes.
I don't come empty-handed.
Amen.
I'm not coming empty-handed to God. One day you will kneel before Him. I promise you that. You won't give Him the praise here. I promise you.
Amen.
That one day you will. In fact, the Bible says every man will. Every knee is going to bow to Him. Jesus said this, I've stepped out of religion to step into relationship with you. I've stepped out of religion outside the camp. Because He said, I'm not going to have you live in bondage to the religion of men. I'm going to have you free by the Spirit. So that after a while, when Sunday morning comes, I get to go to church.
Yeah. Amen.
I get to go to church, praise God. I'm like David, I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart.
Yes.
I will enter His courts with praise. For this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. The Day of Atonement. We're living in the Day of Atonement. Oh, I got one more verse. I got 5 minutes. 4 minutes. But God says, to do these things, to communicate, forget, and I'm just going to be honest with you. You get yourself a new translation, and to communicate means the fellowship, the koinonia of the believer. The fellowship, it means church. Now, I want you to think about that man of God, woman of God, who's the number one on your list. And I guarantee you, you'll find out they were faithful in these areas. You will find out that they went to church. They were in church. And you know how I look for a pastor? You know how I look for a pastor? I want to see if he's married and how many times he's been married. Why? My Bible says that if you can't run your house, how can you run the house of God? I can read. If you can't run your house, how can you run the house of God? You know the second thing I look at when I look for a pastor? His kids. If you can't run the house, your own house, what does the Bible say? You can't run that. Is that in there, Jim? Or am I making that up? Pastor, I don't like this kind of preaching. That's the problem in America. Nobody likes true preaching anymore. Just tickle my ears and tell me God wants to bless me and I don't have to. I want the benefits, I want the blessings, but I don't want any responsibility. And you wonder why God's taken so long to answer your prayers? No, God says communion with Him is benefits, blessings, shared responsibilities. Okay. This one makes people mad. Verse 17. Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves. Everybody under light and submit yourselves.
And submit yourselves.
Wow. I wish God would take that one out. You know, the Bible says that God has organized the church into fivefold ministries. Pastor, prophet, evangelist, teacher. God said there's always going to be organization. There has to be organization. There has to be. Do you remember when Moses, the people came against Moses? And they said, Moses, we don't like the way you're doing everything. And Moses said, well, okay, let's take it up with God. Guess what God did? Anybody know what God did? Tell me. What did God do? He opened up the earth, swallowed them. He swallowed them. Then Moses' own sister came against him one day. She got mad at her brother. She's going to straighten Moses out. And you think, we read these stories and we think, oh, those are cute little Bible stories. No, these are spiritual. These are spiritual in their... She came against Moses' authority. God said, boom! Gave her leprosy. And then she begged Moses to pray for her.
Uh-huh.
A fact! A fact! Moses, Moses, will you pray for me? What did God say? See, one of the problems in America is nobody wants to submit to any authority anymore. Nobody wants to submit. So we have a church that's in rebellion. And we wonder why our nation is in rebellion to God. Lord, I want to say that so bad I can't. It's about a senatorial election in Arizona, but I can't say it. I have a friend that went to college with one of those girls. My God, my God, my God. Went to college with her. Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves to them, for they watch over your souls. Do you know I pray for you every day? I pray for you every day. I'm not even going to look away from you. I pray for you every day. Every day.
Thank you.
No, don't thank me. I'm required to do it. Because one day I got to stand before God, and none of you get to come and stand with me. I got to stand before God how I was a pastor. And how I took care of the sheep. And I want you to listen to what Paul says here. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm trying to prepare you. And I'm trying to bless you. For they watch over your souls as they must give account. That you don't have to go to that account, but I do. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable to who?
For me.
For who?
For me.
For you.
That's right.
God said, if you're going to be a black sheep, it's not unprofitable to Pastor Steve. It's unprofitable to you. I'm going to tell you, one time in my life, I came against spiritual authority. One time in my life, I never do it. Oh, my God, I'll never do it again. I went through the most hell in my life, ever in my life, when I came against it one time. Stupid 34-year-old kid. Stupid! Came against spiritual authority, and I paid the heaviest price I've ever paid in my life for anything. Never do it again. Never do it again. That's why you never hear me badmouth anybody. And that's why I love King David. Two times he had Saul in his hands, could have killed him, and David said, I won't touch him. I'm going to leave him to God. So, somebody holler out one of your favorite preachers. Just holler him out. Who? T.D. Jakes. Who? Stephen Furtick. Well, he didn't even make the list. Franklin Graham. You know how much Billy Graham is worth in the Billy Graham ministry? $20 million. My God, I can't do nothing with him. He's worth $20 million. No, he's rich! Or was he faithful in little that God blessed him with much? Or was he faithful with little that God said, I can trust you with much? Name somebody else. I'll tell you what they're worth. Joyce Meyer, $8 million. John Hagee, he's so rich, he's worth like $300 million. He's worth a ton of money. And you know why? Because he wrote a bunch of books. And we get mad because God has blessed men who were faithful. And I guarantee if you look back in their life, you'll find out they were in church every Sunday. And they knew the sacrifice of praise. And they knew the sacrifice that, yes, I am the presenter and the presentee. And God says, I'll bless that. If you present yourself on days you don't feel like it, I'll bless it. My Bible says God's well pleased with it. One of my favorite guys, David Jeremiah. Guess what he's worth? Guess what he's worth? Anybody have an idea? 20 million. I pray God blesses him with more.
Yeah.
Why? Because I know his ministry's been faithful for years and years and years and years.
Yeah.
And he's not going to run it off with it. If your pastor's going to run with money, it'll happen in the first 7 years.
Okay.
I've been here 21. My dad was here 35. Oh, man, anybody know a guy named Pat Robertson?
Uh-huh.
700 Club. You know what I like about the 700 Club? My mother and father-in-law that are LDS watch the 700 Club. They watch it. You know why? Because it's good TV. And they don't know God's working His way in. Because me and Kenna are faithful in church. And we're faithful to God. And they're going to get saved whether they like it or not. And they watch 700 Club. Oh, but I didn't tell you what he's worth. $100 million. Oh my God, we got it right. He's out. He's all about money. God said, you're faithful in a little. I'll bless you with a bunch. This is the Word of God, people. This is the Word of God. It is so true. God is not a respecter of persons, but He is a respecter of principle. My guy, David Jeremiah, you know what? You know how he made all his money? He wrote books. Do you know he's one of the most desired speakers at conventions and by corporations in America today? And he doesn't do it for free. Because he ain't stupid. He's sharing wisdom and knowledge and revelation that God has blessed him with. How to run corporations. And just so you know, our church is set up exactly the way his church is set up. Exactly. Corporately. Just like David Jeremiah. Just like. How many know what Joel Osteen's worth?
$42 million.
God says, if you're, and you can knock them for this, knock them for that. But I want to see it. God searches the hearts. When I see men that God has blessed, my question is this. Why has God blessed them? Not, oh my God, He's blessed them.
Right.
What's wrong? Because I tell you, trust me, if it's wrong, God will walk right in. God will walk right in. You don't got to worry about that. I'm going to tell you, all these people I'm talking about have been faithful to God. Faithful to God. Jerry, I want you to go buy that land. It ain't worth nothing right now. But I'm going to bless you. Do you know what it's like to go buy land that ain't got nothing on it, it's worth absolutely nothing, and put a bunch of money into some land that God tells you to do, and then you got to trust God it's going to work out?
Yes.
These are men that have heeded Hebrews 13. Don't forsake the assembly. Jesus was crucified outside the camp, so you don't have to live by religion anymore. You can live by relationship. See, relationship is this. I don't have to do it. I want to do it. I get to do it. I don't have to love my wife. I get to love my wife. I get to love her. I get to love her. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise. So when you see me offer my with my hands up, I am now the presenter, and now I'm the presentee. I'll be honest with you, there's days I'd just rather sit there and do this, honestly. There are days on the way to church, I'm wishing, boy, I wish I had an elk tag today. I just drove by Bill and Debbie's, and there's a ton of elk at their house. And right outside their house is the National Forest. You are the presenter and the presentee. Shared blessings, shared benefits, shared responsibilities. In the responsibilities is where you'll find all the blessings and the benefits manifest. In the responsibilities. Amen?
Amen.
Did you get anything out of this today?
Amen.
I urge you to read Hebrews 10, 11, 12, and 13. And Paul wraps up the New Testament in this amazing bow and said it all comes down to this. This is what God has done for you. I beg you, by the mercies of God. Because what God did for you, can't you do a few things for Him? How many want God to take care of on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Give God Sunday. Give God Sunday. Give God Sunday. Father, right now I just pray according to Your Holy Spirit that You'd open hearts and lives. Father, this is a message that many pastors won't teach in America. I get that. I understand that. But You've told me to preach Your uncompromising Word. And I will not compromise on preaching the Word of God in this house. Because the Word of God will bless your life. It will anoint your life. It will grace your life. At a level that men can only think, dream, or hope. Because we serve a God who wants to do everything above and beyond what we could ask, think, hope. We have a God with God, all things are possible. We have a God that if we give Him something to work with, He will manifest and bless it 60, 30, 90, and 100 fold. We have a God that is truly our Father and that loves us as a Father. And that has said, even on earth, even an earthly father, if his son asked for meat, will he give him a serpent? And Father, I thank you that when we ask for grace and mercy and help in time of need, it's there. And so we come boldly before you as the Apostle Paul indicates that we need to. And we ask for grace in our lives right now. Father, I pray and ask you minister this to every heart and every life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Stand for the blessing.